This lesson may be a little difficult to get through because we all need to confess our sins. And we sometimes realize that, well, not everybody needs to know what my sins are. And that's true about virtually all of us. None of us in here knows what everyone else has done unless they've told them. And yes, there are some who have done some things that are wrong and they paid the price for it. And there's others who have hidden things even from their families. And there are some of these things that all of us have done in the past kind of weigh upon our conscience from time to time. We try and fill our lives with all sorts of things to make the pain go away, but it's not always successful. And so we're going to have a little lesson here, and I put this together a few weeks ago, and I've been refining it ever since. And like I say, it's going to be a little difficult to get through, but we all need to have confidence in each other. And sometimes knowing our past is something we need to reveal. Let's face it, if I decided to run for public office, this would come out, so this would be known. But anyway, all of us do all sorts of things. There's no question about that. And some of the things we do, we're not very proud of. And a lot of times, we're just not paying attention to what we're doing. I'm talking about negligence and just not paying attention to what's going on around you. And really, honestly, it's not caring what's going on around you is what this is doing. And in the past, we know because of this, some have harmed others because of their inattention or negligence. They even have categories in the penal code about this negligence and why. There's different types. We have homicide, but we also have negligent homicide. That comes about when someone acts stupidly and does something they shouldn't have done, and someone gets hurt or killed because of it. So negligence is very dangerous in the workplace. We have to be very aware when danger is present. And if we forget about that danger around us, we can get harmed, or somebody else can get harmed. See, some have killed others because of thoughtlessness or selfish actions. And that does happen. And it's a tragedy when it does, and we feel guilty about that. See, eventually, after something bad happens, we reflect on our lives and our actions. And if we do have a soul, if we do have a heart, it starts to weigh on our minds. It weighs upon us and it touches us with grief and guilt because what I have done deprived someone else. And that's just not good. And so we have these feelings. And it is that way with me. Like I say, you don't know me. You know I'm from Texas. I'm proud of that fact, and I let y'all know it all the time. And I talk like I'm from Texas. So there's no question about that. You also know that I love the Lord, and I have demonstrated that over the past 2 years. But beyond that, what do you know about me? Some of you might know that, yes, I worked for a trucking company for 30 years. And I've done other types of jobs in the past. And that's it. But you don't know anything about me. And conversely, except for what you may have told me, I don't know anything about you either. And some of the things we've done, we don't want to share that with others. It's something we keep in ourselves. And see, that's the way the psalmist felt about it. We'll look at that. So you might be wondering why I've chosen this format to explain my sin. I think it's very simple. I borrowed my idea from David. I had read chapter 32, and it kind of struck a nerve as I was going through. And verse 3 really weighed upon me very strongly. It says, when I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. When we carry guilt, that's something that we have to be aware of. When we carry guilt, it wears us down. It's a burden upon us that we may be able to think about other things at times, but it continues to weigh upon us. And that weight will always be there until we can ask for forgiveness. See, David considered that others had the same problems. And I'm probably not any different than most of you, or all of you, in fact. I'm not that different. I've done things in the past that I'm not proud of. And David had done some things that, I mean, he really did some things that he shouldn't have been proud of. But yet he also turned around and was willing to make them public. He says, if the Lord shows me mercy, he can show anyone mercy. And you know, Paul reflected those same thoughts. You know, Paul did some things he wasn't very proud of, but he says, God showed me mercy. So we need to look at that. So I'm going to do that today, and I'm doing this as an example so that hopefully you will learn. Now, what did I do? I'll get to that. See, the truth is, when I'm honest with myself, I have to realize I was just very selfish. And, of course, we all can probably say the same thing. And I have to throw in a little bit of foolishness in there. I was foolish. I was foolish for a long time and did things my way. I was living my way, the way I wanted to live, and nothing else really mattered. As long as I got what I want, when I wanted it, when I desired it, it really didn't matter to me how I got it or anything like that. And we know that there's a lot of people in that situation. Whether they're addicted to something and they just got to have it, or it's just pure greed and selfishness that causes it. Now, I'll just throw this in. You know, as a young driver, when I started driving, I drove crazy. I mean, my first 3 months, I had 3 tickets in my first 3 months of driving. And I had to go before the judge and explain why I shouldn't have my license revoked. I'm just a young, foolish driver. I'm sorry, so I'll try and do better. So he said, okay, you're on probation. But anyway, I drove crazy, and every chance I got, I'd do dumb stuff. Zipping in and out of traffic. You know, you see these idiots out on the road zipping around traffic. Well, that was me. That was me several years ago. Driving faster than was safe, going up around curves and everything else. And yeah, I spun out a few times. And just very thankful that I'm still here. I put myself in a lot of dangerous situations. Dangerous for me and those around me. Because you know what auto accidents do. And when I think about it, it really is a marvel that I've survived to this point. It really is. And I don't know if you feel that way, but probably a lot of you feel the same way. It's probably a marvel that I'm still around. And I was like many of my peers. Most of them got away with doing stupid things. But you know what? Others got caught. And obviously they needed to be punished. And I always thought, well, that's their problem. You ever feel that way? Well, that's their problem. If they get caught, that's their problem. You run a stop sign, you're okay. Next guy runs a stop sign, oh, they deserve a ticket. And you don't give yourself a thought about this. It's always their problem. But I refused to acknowledge that I was the one with the problem. I ignored my responsibility, and I did foolish things. And the incident I'm going to talk about this morning happened many years ago. And some thought that a severe punishment was appropriate for the crime that I committed. And yes, it could have carried a very harsh penalty. And some people think I should have been punished more severely than I was. And we see that every now and then. You hear news reports, somebody gets let off on probation when you, man, they belong in jail. We hear about things like that happening all the time. But I can be thankful someone must have seen something in me, and instead of a harsh punishment, I was given a second chance. This second chance allowed me to get my life right, get my life and become a benefit to society where it wasn't before. So I share this with you, hoping that you will learn something from my story. See, when we're selfish, we do not think about others or how our actions affect others. And I think every one of you can probably echo these same thoughts. Selfishness destroys all relationships. Selfishness destroys anything that's good in any of us. Because we just look out for good old number one, and we don't care about anybody else or anything else. We only use people to get what we can get out of them. And that's what selfishness does. We just want what we want and do not consider or even care about others. As a result, some people are hurt, injured, or even worse. See, selfish means I do what I want without regard to my duty or what would help others. And that is totally against what we're supposed to do as Christians. Once again, why am I telling this? They say that confession is good for the soul. And yes, we are told to confess our sins. It's very true. Some might not care, but yet, if it's my sin that I'm thinking about and it weighs heavy on me, it's bothered my conscience for a long time, and sometimes you just gotta let it out and tell others. So I thought sharing my convictions and deepest thoughts would encourage others to do the same. And I want you to listen very carefully. I want you to consider this. What I did all those years ago, I killed an innocent person, much younger than myself. See, the Bible tells us if we'll confess our sins, He will forgive us our sins. And I'm very thankful for that. Because I know that I sin often, but I know that if I confess my sin, He is faithful and just to forgive my sins. That benefit is available to every Christian. A person who is not a Christian does not have that privilege. And James 5:16 tells us to confess our faults one to another so that we can pray for each other. And I need prayer. I need prayer all the time. And sometimes we do this because we just cannot forgive ourselves. I identify with the Apostle Paul because even though he was glad that he was forgiven, he was glad that God showed him mercy. What he had done before by killing Christians still weighed very heavy upon him, even to the point of his death. It was something that really bothered him. And so we think about these things, and sometimes they just weigh upon us, and we try and fill our minds up with other things. We get involved in hobbies and other things and hoping that it goes away. But it has a way of just coming back and haunting us. The time I did this, I did not really know this person that I killed. I had heard about him, but never really got to know him like I should. I never took the time because I was too busy living my own life. That someone else's life really did not matter to me. And you try and put this stuff off and put it out of your mind and think, well, he shouldn't have been there, or he shouldn't have done that, or whatever, and it wouldn't have happened. And you try and reason around all these things. Just like everything else we do, we try and reason around when it'd be so much easier to say, I have sinned. It would be so much easier to say, I have sinned, but yet we reason around it and justify our own actions. See, the person I killed was Jesus. Okay, there's that sigh of relief I'm hearing. Yeah. The person I killed was Jesus. I may not have arrested him, but I betrayed him. I may not have lied to get him in trouble, but I have most certainly lied often. I may not have denied him back then, but I have denied him many times since. I may not have beat him with the rods or whips with rocks and shards of glass in them, but he still felt the pain. I may not have nailed his hands and feet with the spikes and the hammer, but you know what? It was my hand that held the giant nails while others pounded them in. I did not lift him up on the cross, but I am the reason that he died. He was without sin, but I was not. He didn't deserve it. He died for me. And it really does not seem fair when you think about it. Does it sound fair to you? No, it's not fair at all. But this was destined to be. You see, many years ago, God told mankind that breaking his laws and commandments was punishable with death. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. James 1:15, sin brings forth death. And that's what it does. Death is a separation. In life, death is a separation from the body. And we know in Isaiah 59 in verse 2, he said, your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God. Sin separates us from God. This is what I deserved. And this was the sentence that I got. I was destined to die. But Jesus stepped in and offered to die for me. It's a courageous thing for someone to do that. So after he spared me and made the offer to die in my place, I decided to understand just who this Jesus is. And I found out. See, Jesus is God's plan for mankind. He was always in God's plan. So I learned that before the earth was formed and the foundations of the that were laid, that God already had this plan in his mind before he said, let there be light. He already had plans to make Jesus the Savior of the world. Ephesians 1:3-6 covers that. Talk about that. Before the foundation of the world, he had already planned Jesus to be our Savior. And God knew that man would sin, because when people are given choices, they usually take them. Just about every time you're given a choice, the first time you make one choice, second time, well, I'm going to try the other. You know, it's not like the game show, door number one or door number two, and you're going to take one and yet you have to give up the other. We still have choices every day. And a lot of times, we make the wrong choices. We try both choices to see which one we like better. Some choices are not something that God would want us to be doing, but hey, it's so much fun. Don't we hear that all the time? May not be right, but it's so much fun, or it feels so good. So people do make those choices. And I learned that my choices were often the wrong choices. And there would be consequences. And I had to do something about that. See, I've learned that the reason God allowed this to happen is that he loved me. and not me only. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son for all mankind. See, God really loves everyone and wants them to be saved. And yet, most people are just like I was, foolish and stupid, refusing to make the right choices in their lives. And they continue on a daily basis. We know that God is not willing that any perish and be lost. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4 tells us that. And 2 Peter 3, 9 tells us the same thing. He wants us all to come to repentance and start living for Him. That's what God wants. But He's given us the choice if we're going to do that or not. We encourage you to make the right choice. God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. You might think, well, okay, a bunch of bad people die. It must be something God really wanted. No. God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked because their chance of salvation is taken away from them at death. God has provided everything we need to acquire salvation. We know that. 2 Peter 1:3. It's through His divine mercy He has granted us all things pertaining to life and godliness. Had you going for a while, didn't I? Yet this whole story has to be the story for each of us. If you're honest with yourself, that's my story. If His death does not touch your heart, you really have no hope for salvation. It's just that simple. So please learn what Jesus did for you and share it with others. Because they need it. There are people out there are hurting. They're hurting and they're dying out there. Some of them even killing themselves because they think there's no alternative. But Jesus offers a pardon and forgiveness. As we turn our back on sin and we decide we're going to serve the Lord, we have to believe in what Jesus did. He was the Son of God. He died on the cross for our sins. He asked us to repent of our sins, to change our lives, to remove the sin from our lives and stop the sin in our lives, and change our course of action to one of serving God and serving others. And we're to confess. Make the confession. Paul told Timothy how he had made the good confession. And of course, we read the good confession by the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8, verse 37, 38. And that is a good confession to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And recognizing what He has done. Because my sin separated me from God. And the only way I can get to God is through His blood. So I make that confession of that belief, that faith that I have. And then I was baptized for the remission of my sins. So that my sins will be taken away. As we read in Psalms 32 and verse 1. Blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven. Now you have to ask yourself, is your transgression forgiven? If there's something still weighs heavy on your mind, you need to take Jesus up on His offer. Consider that. And I hope you'll go home and pray about this. I hope you'll think about it and let it weigh upon your mind and determine that if you're allowed to wake up tomorrow morning, God has given you a second chance to make things right. I encourage you to do that. We're going to sing our invitation song. If anyone has a need to respond, we invite you to come while we stand.